what I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the rooftops. Father Matthew Kauth and I began a conversation on the rooftop of the seminary overlooking the dome of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. We've been continuing this conversation ever since, and we're glad you can join us.
Mediatrix Radio presents From the Rooftop with Father Patrick Winslow and Father Matthew Kauth. You're invited to listen in to their private conversation of Catholic perspective from a unique vantage point. Now, for the next 29 minutes and 58 seconds of ruminations and explanations, Father Patrick Winslow. So what's up today, Father?
We're going to be talking about what it means to speak of a vocation, whether it be married, religious, or clerical life.
Well, Father, my wife's kind of happy I listened to the call to be married, at least most of the time.
Well, you and your wife may be happy now, but let me tell you about my experience as a priest. I have the opportunity of helping young couples prepare for marriage, and invariably in the process, they turn to me and they say, Father, we feel sorry for you that you can't get married and experience the love and the excitement of embarking on a life together the way we know. And they ask me about why it is the church doesn't allow for married clergy. And then, a few minutes after I meet with them, I make my way down the hall into the office, and there's an older gentleman who's been married for 20, 30 years, and he'll say to me, Father, what are you doing today? And I'll say, well, I'm going to meet up with Father Gober for lunch, and then I'm going to go pray, say Mass, and then perhaps I'll do something in the evening and maybe play some golf tomorrow, something along those lines. And he'll say to me, Father, you've got the life. It's all a matter of perspective.
That is a perspective I haven't considered, but since my wife is probably listening, maybe I'm not supposed to.
Well, let's not squabble about who has the better vocation here. When His Holiness Benedict XVI was Cardinal Ratzinger, he was being interviewed, and he was asked, how many paths are there to heaven? He said, as many as there are people. The truth is, all vocations are unique. Every path is distinct because every person is singular. And each path is a vocation unto God. But it is also equally true that these vocations can be grouped into categories: married life, clerical life, or religious life. Today we're going to talk about that which is common to them all. What makes for a vocation? When we return, we'll have Father Kauth on the line calling in from Rome.
You're listening to From the Rooftop with Father Patrick Winslow. We'll be right back after these messages. Polydex Screen Corporation, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, was founded in Spartanburg in 1978 to manufacture and market modular synthetic screen media in North America. Serving the gold, copper, phosphate, and aggregate industries, Polydex strives to honor God in all they do. Their phone number is 864-579-4594. They're also on the web at www.polydeckscreen.com. Thomas McAfee Funeral Home, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, has been serving the community since 1913. Offering personalized funeral and cremation services, they're committed to serving you and your family with dignity and respect. This family-owned business can be reached at their downtown chapel at 232-6733, or their northwest chapel at 294-6415, and they're on the web at www.thomasmcafee.com. AKJ Consulting, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, in cooperation with New Way Properties, utilizes years of experience to assist people in finding and acquiring affordable housing in the upstate. They also have a program to assist those in danger of going into foreclosure. For more information, David Case can be reached at 864-430-4877. That's 864-430-4877. St. Anthony's Catholic Store, now located at 443C Congaree Road in Greenville, is celebrating 20 years of service, providing the best in Catholic products for your home and church. Come by and enjoy the relaxing atmosphere while you learn more about the Catholic faith, browsing the expanded inventory of books, devotionals, and religious statues. St. Anthony's Catholic Store, 443C Congaree Road in Greenville, is a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio in South Carolina. And now, back to From the Rooftop.
Father Kauth, how's Rome?
Rome is great. It is good to be back with you again, although in a different location. And mm-hmm. Rome, as ever, is the eternal city and a city of grace.
Oh, I wish I was there to eat a meal with you.
I do, too.
Oh, my gosh.
But it reminds me that the last time I saw you, when you were here, mm-hmm. when I was taking a cab back, there was a young man who brought me back in the cab, and he was wondering what a guy like me was doing in the priesthood. I'm not sure if it was a compliment or...
He probably thought you belonged in a prison.
Anyway, he says, I could never do that. And I said, I didn't think I could either, which kind of gets us into our topic today, which is both a abstract one as well as a very practical one in terms of a vocation and what, in fact, is a vocation.
Mm.
And as it is, our title, From the Rooftop, let's look at things from the top down first, because I think that this young man driving this taxi cab was just a little bit afraid, after I told him that maybe someone was going to look down on him and give him a vocation.
Concerned about the final analysis, right?
That's right. So we deal a lot with vocations, obviously, and I think they are somewhat mysterious to people that don't have one. They all think things might come about, like St. Paul being knocked off his horse, so to speak. Nevertheless, the word itself has to deal with someone else.
Uh-huh.
One is called, vocare meaning to call, and of course, one being called in the passive sense. I can't create in myself a vocation. And unfortunately, we use that word differently with respect to, like at high schools. Did you ever have those vocation days where they used to set up all these different types of jobs, and people would come from around the city
and you had a class
to go to them, so we always did it.
Mm-hmm.
But they called it vocation days, when in essence, vocation isn't automatic in the sense that one gives it to oneself. Whereas I think one of the first things to get across to people is that vocation is actually someone doing the calling, someone who inscribes it onto our own nature.
Well, I remember Father Basil Cole. Remember him? We had our class together with him. And he was saying that the vocation is the path by which God calls us unto himself. You know, so getting to that whole Latin word, to call, that it's the vocation is the path by which God calls us to himself. And that gets into the whole business of there being somebody calling us and fulfilling the purpose for which we were created.
Because there's a lot of things people want to do. I mean, depending upon your state in life, your circumstances, et cetera, things that call out to you from nature.
Mm.
And that's one of the things that is often confusing for young men. They say, well, I feel called, they say, to marriage,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, you should, because that's a call that comes from oneself. That's automatic in the sense of not coming from outside.
It's built in.
Theomatic.
Mm. Yeah, it's built in. You know, in that sense of having a natural sense of call toward marriage is built in. It's inscribed in our nature. It was there from
right.
the beginning in Genesis. And of course, you've done all the theology of the body stuff on that.
That's the fundamental. And it feels like a call because it's a desire.
Mm-hmm.
Desires cry out.
Mm-hmm.
Desires for food. Desires for family life, etc. They're natural and good, and they do call, but they call from inside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the vocation that you and I have received and consecrated religious men and women have received is something that comes from outside, and it's an encounter, ultimately, with a person. That's why it's fundamentally scary at the same time.
It is. Well, you know, I was having a conversation with someone recently, a young man who's been discerning a vocation, and he was having a conversation with a gentleman who was a fallen-away Catholic who was saying that he just doesn't understand the whole celibacy thing and why priests can't get married. And the whole thing was, I guess, a contentious issue for him. And I don't know why exactly, but he seemed to be open in this conversation with this young man who obviously was having this conversation with him because he was discerning a vocation. And one of the points that resonated with him was when this young man explained that all of us are called to marriage, a supernatural marriage, as the bride of Christ, the church, to Christ, the groom. Mm-hmm. So the passage in the New Testament when our Lord says people will not be given in marriage in the end times, you know, so we avoid the conflict of when you have successive wives and so, you know, brother takes the next wife. And that's
right, liberate marriage.
Exactly. When you have that situation, that's not a real problem in the end times because we don't have that type of marriage that exists. And what resonated with him was this idea that all of us together are bound up as a church into this one supernatural marriage with Christ the bridegroom in eternity. And that priests and religious skip the human institution of marriage and even the sacramental earthly institution of marriage and go directly into the end game, which is the marriage directly between the Christ the bridegroom and the church. And that has a certain witness value, that has a real potency. You know, you and I both know that in church language and theological language, we call it the eschatological sign. And so it resonated well with this man who actually rethought his position on the church's clerical celibacy.
That's interesting. And it's ultimately a confusion of sign and reality, because marriage, of course, now a sacramental reality in the church, is an efficacious sign, as all sacraments are. But what it's pointing to is fundamentally what we're beginning to participate in. And we do it for the sake of the kingdom. It's one of Christ's injunctions to his apostles that those who can receive this gift receive it, and they do it for the sake of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it doesn't work if it's something that is fundamentally automatic or something that is given by oneself, because it requires that relationship that you're talking about to undergird the entire reality, because it is a grace and a particular gift, and one doesn't do it to be masochistic, but because we want something more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. When I was a teenager, I never even considered it. Did you ever consider it? You entered the seminary as a teenager.
I did. I was 19 when I entered seminary.
I considered
it to some degree as a boy, and more of a sort of abstract way, because I didn't know really what a priest was. And
mm-hmm.
certainly serving at Mass and participating in the sacramental life of the church was the first step toward that. But I fundamentally did not know our Lord, so I couldn't mm-hmm. know what it was that one actually did, because I knew priests, and I knew that they were churchmen, but I didn't really know any what it was to be a disciple of Christ and therefore to be called by him. I mean, that's the whole beginning of the church in terms of the new law of grace by which Christ begins to call men actually. The difference with them is that they actually had to follow him when he
right.
went somewhere, and our following is a bit different, but nevertheless...
you follow him to Rome.
Following.
I think you're probably following your stomach more than you are following your faith. But anyway, that's a whole other issue.
I do live in Rome, though.
Of course you do. Yeah. Well, you know, to me, it all comes down to a matter of simple obedience and discipleship. And in the end, a Christian is the one who doesn't invite God into his life or her life, but rather is one who is invited into Christ's life. And I think there's an enormous difference between the two. And that we are invited to enter into Christ's life by virtue of our baptism. We're baptized into his life, death, and resurrection. And I think in the modern Western context, I think that somehow God feels privileged because we've invited him into our lives. Well, that's just not the case. We're the ones who are privileged because he's invited us to follow him. And so we enter into his life, and that sense of vocation is, in the end, the path by which he's invited us to enter into his life. And for me, it comes down quite simply asking the question, well, what then is that path? And we know from our church that we have different set paths. I mean, every vocation is unique, but there are certain common traits. There are certain genres of paths. So insofar as we're all unique, we all have our own path. But insofar as that we're all following the same Lord, there are certain genres. There's the married life, there's the religious life, and there's the priestly life, and so we're following down our vocational path.
I think one of the images in the scriptures, aside from the calling of the apostles, that is most potent is the rich young man, because it brings it to stark contrast with the apostles' response, because they responded immediately,
mm-hmm.
and the rich young man, fettered by his own wealth, which can represent a myriad of things, various desires that one has, good or bad,
yeah.
The ways in which we're attached to this thing or that thing, and the fears that encompass us from the thought of losing those things. It says in Mark's Gospel, and the only place in the Scriptures where it says that after our Lord had asked him about keeping the commandments, and to find that he did that, which fundamentally makes us capable of receiving a vocation, which is something to remind young men and women as well, that the first step is keeping the commandments, because one has to live the fundamental vocation of holiness and discipleship first to even be able to be capable of responding to a different grace to receive a vocation. But at that point, it says in the scripture that our Lord looked at him with love. And never in the scriptures does it say that about our Lord and someone else, that he looked at this young man with love, not to overpower him by a particular grace, but to match the man's fears with an equal strength of grace. Because it's always a free decision. One can say no. And so he never overpowers. He's not a rapist. He's a lover. And in that, as one poet once put it in stark terms, but that he invites, but he does not force.
Mm-hmm.
He gives every strength to be able to say yes to it, and yet the man didn't.
Well, very good. That's a wonderful point to end on. At least viewing the sense of vocation and the call of discipleship and particular vocations from the perspective of our faith. And then when we come back, we'll see it from the perspective of our culture and the streets.
You're listening to From the Rooftop with Father Patrick Winslow and Father Matthew Kalf. We'll be back after the break. Progressive Machining of Greenville, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, is a 20-year-old company with over 100 years of combined experience providing a quality machine shop, equipped to provide a variety of services for manufacturing, including fabrication of precision parts, machine design, drafting services, and fixture design. Progressive Machining is located at 200 Kearns Avenue in Greenville, South Carolina. You can reach them at 864-241-3860. That's 864-241-3860.
What is your reaction when you hear that the Dow is down 500 points? Be careful as you accumulate in your 401k of having an attitude like that of the rich farmer in Luke 12, verse 18. He thought he'd store up his abundant crop and then take it easy, but God had other plans. In what do you place your faith? The value of your investment accounts? Good stewards look to benefit God's kingdom, our families, and the community at large. And after all, it's not your money. I'm Joe Galloway.
Fisher Barton South Carolina Inc. is a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio. Utilizing their in-house production facilities, Fisher Barton specializes in engineered materials and processes for the automotive, lawn, garden, and various other industries. Located in Fountain Inn, Fisher Barton can be reached at 864-862-3138. That's 864-862-3138. And now, back to From the Rooftop.
So now we've looked at vocation from the rooftop, from an elevated point of view of our faith. Now we want to consider vocation from down off the rooftop and down on the streets, if you will, the practical issues and the misconceptions and the cultural pitfalls and all of those sorts of things. So we move from the rooftop to the streets. And so, Father Kalf, I want to begin by picking up on something that I mentioned briefly already, and that is this this notion of vocation as being a call to Christ, an invitation rather, to follow him into his kingdom. And I want to make the distinction, because I think there's a great pitfall in this respect, the distinction between being invited into Christ's life and inviting Christ into our lives. And it's an issue really fundamentally of turf. You know, whose turf is my life? Is my life my own and I invite Christ in? Or is it in fact my life his and I am invited into his life as a gift? And I think it really is the latter. I mean, basically, our lives are fundamentally a gift. Well, we are being invited as disciples of Christ. We're invited into his life. And I think there's a huge implication.
It's interesting, isn't it, that looking at it from that perspective, because it is the fundamental distinction of accommodating Christ, sort of accommodating him to our life and making him a part of the wellness wheel of our lives.
Oh, you know, I love that wellness wheel.
And ultimately,
drives me nuts.
Actually making him our life.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, again, referring to the passages of Scripture, where oftentimes our Lord would begin by accommodating himself to someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like the woman at the well, or the Pharisees, or Nicodemus, or any of the personages that he seems to encounter in their setting.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew the tax collector. But they can't stay there. Our Lord doesn't ever take up, you know, residence.
Oh, no, it's come follow me.
He doesn't say, mm-hmm. can I go fishing with you, Peter?
Absolutely.
He begins fishing and then says, leave your nets.
Yeah, drop them. I mean, there were some, you know, whole families that were left behind. I mean, it's a fundamental difference. And I think in our modern Western culture, we kind of get this whole sense of vocation backward. Somehow we're calling God rather than he calls us. Somehow we're inviting him into our life and we make accommodation. And there's certain areas that we don't even invite him in, you know.
Compartmentalize
mm-hmm.
The unchanging and all-powerful God.
Oh, yeah, you can come into my life, but just not in this corner or not in that
right.
one.
So you're holding me in being right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're saying to our Lord, come follow me.
True. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to take you with me because I might need you.
Do you think I could talk about the temple?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think the people are ready for that.
Oh, no, they have to be. This is my thing.
We'd be climbing back up those stairs.
No, you know, for everything always goes back to the temple.
It always goes back to the temple.
Because so here,
it's true.
It is. Well, our Lord said it. He said, in the Gospel of John, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it. Now, you know that it would take me a heck of a lot more than a few minutes to describe all of its implications. But to say that man is a temple has real implication, because in that gospel...
You people are being spared, by the way.
Oh, come on, you're just jealous.
I am, terribly.
You're jealous.
So, green with envy.
Green with envy, because this line of thinking has fed me for so many years. You've heard... You've actually.
All right, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You've heard this for how many years now?
Oh, as many as I've known you.
And you still can't pass the test. Oh, anyway, so the temple, man is a temple. He's created by God. He's a religious, theological creature. That is, he cannot not worship. It's in his nature to do so. So he worships something. And if we understand the fact that man is a temple, then he cannot not worship. He's always worshiping something, whether he's conscious of it or not. Then we get into this issue of vocation. I believe that a temple that's rightly oriented, a temple of man that's rightly worshiping the Lord God, is one that is offered on the altar of a vocation. That the altar within our heart of our temple is a vocation on which we offer our sacrifices and our adoration and worship of God. That's a rightly oriented temple. Whereas by contrast, I think the modern culture, it produces temples that are disordered or disoriented, that are not oriented toward God. And as a result, what they sacrifice their lives on is not a vocation, but a lifestyle. And I think we see a real contrast between these two all the time. You have people, Christians, who talk about a vocation, and this sets the table or the altar within their heart upon which they offer their lives to the Lord God. By way of contrast to those people who've oriented their temples toward their own perceived interests, and their altar of their heart is one not made up of the substance of a vocation, but made up of a quote-unquote lifestyle. What do you think? Am I onto something or am I wrong?
No, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And ultimately, what we're saying in short is that we're not directing either ourselves or our actions to their proper end. Choosing all sorts of various means, i.e. lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
as an end in itself.
We become like a pretzel.
And we become, yes, we become turned in on ourselves.
Turned in on
because
ourselves.
Because it can't give us what we ultimately want. I mean, take, for example, a microbiologist.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderfully good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Does wonderful things for humanity, etc. But it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the fullness of his vocation. To give himself to something that's less than him, created matter, as his end, is not only not satisfying, it's frustrating. Because ultimately, as you're saying, he's not directing himself, sacrificing himself toward the one true goal, the one great good that all of the lesser goods are used in communion with, that directed toward the final end, who is God himself, because nothing else satisfies.
And that's where you get in the sense that a temple has an orientation, a direction. I mean, people probably don't even know, our listeners don't even know, that the whole word orientation comes from the word orient, or facing east. And that it was all that the earliest Christian worship always faced in the direction of the sun, which is the natural light of the world, which was a symbol for Christ, the supernatural light of the world. And so all Christian worship was oriented or easted. And so when you and I are talking about our temples having an orientation and our altars having a direction, this has played itself out in Christian history in the direction of our Christian worship. But that makes more sense, I think, to our listeners when we talk about how you and I can become inwardly oriented, or at least really disoriented in our lives. If we have a lifestyle rather than a vocation on which we offer ourselves, then we're really offering sacrifices to ourselves. I mean, think about it practically.
It's fundamentally idolatry.
Think about how many hours people spend in the gym, how many hours they spend counting calories, how many hours they spend making money to buy a second house, three cars, a boat, and they can't have more than two children. All of that those are sacrifices that are being made to sustain a lifestyle, and all of the sacrifices are self-oriented, or we should say disoriented.
It's one of the things I've always said when I raised the host actually at Mass.
Mm-hmm.
The phrase, a little prayer that I've always said was that I might offer to you a living sacrifice. Because at the moment I'm offering the living sacrifice, the lamb once slain who lives forever. And yet, personally, as the priest who is in the person of Christ there, but also distinct with all of my sins, etc., it's one of the prayers I always make to him, that I might be able actually to orient myself, to offer myself on that altar there that is represented, that is offered with Christ as a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. And that's truly oriented worship, in the sense that we are drawn in to Christ's offering of self unto the Father. And that's
answering a vocation.
Absolutely. I mean, I love the notion of the offertory at Mass, where we take the offerings of that are made on the altar of our lives, our vocations, and as imperfect and stained as they are, we can join them to the offering of Christ's vocation as Redeemer at the Mass, as he approaches the Father as man and God and mediator of men, that he then takes up our offerings and makes them acceptable by conjoining them to his, and our offerings then become perfected. It is such a beautiful understanding of the offertory.
Yeah, that sense of movement. Again, getting back to our sense of vocation.
Yeah.
Of actually following him and not just having him in our life. But there's that sense, what you mentioned with orientation, of movement.
Entering into his.
Worship is fundamentally that procession.
Mm-hmm. Father, it was great talking to you over there, and we'll see each other soon.
I look forward to it.
Very good.
Take care. God bless.
You've been listening to From the Rooftop with Father Patrick Winslow and Father Matthew Kalth. From the Rooftop is a Mediatrix Radio production in association with MPB Incorporated, and features the song Anywhere You Are, written and performed by Chris Trapper, taken from the 2008 Starlight Records release Songs from the Middle of the World, published by Always Gone Music, 2008 CSAC. More information about Chris Trapper's music can be found at www.christrapper.com. I'm Richard Edmond, speaking to you from the rooftop. Until next time, God bless.
It's been a long, long day. I got a lot to say. It feels like I'm carrying a two-ton weight. I go to see a friend. Every time I stop and think of all the places we have crawled from, I can tell you honestly, it makes me wanna scream. From the mountaintop, scream. From the rooftop to the street.
Polydextrin Corporation, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, was founded in Spartanburg in 1978 to manufacture and market modular synthetic screen media in North America. Serving the gold, copper, phosphate, and aggregate industries, Polydex strives to honor God in all they do. Their phone number is 864-579-4594. They're also on the web at www.polydexscreen.com.